words of my mouth and the love in our hearts be acceptable in God's sight this day and every day. May he give us strength and redeem us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's really not very nice for Father Ken to have an opportunity to speak and say things to me and give me presents before I have an opportunity to speak. Because now, all of a sudden, I'm thinking about a whole group of different things, and I'm saying, okay, God, which one of these hundreds of things would you like me to share this morning? I was really touched by Susan's talk about the relief fund, and not so much about the relief fund, but about the people who went and stayed to help people in the Virgin Islands. Not just there, but the people in Hawaii and the people in all kinds of places that have been truly devastated. And what kind of strength does it take to go away from your family, away from your friends, someplace you don't even know, and when you get there, you find out you still don't know where you're going. You still don't know where you're going. And you don't know where to go to the bathroom, and you don't know where your bed is, and you don't know even how to bathe yourself because everything has been destroyed here. And then somehow somebody says, well, you can stay right here on the executive grounds, and you have all of the needs that you always needed. All of the things are provided for you. But when you walk out the door and you look around, there's nothing there. All of the other people are living in poverty, and their roofs have been blown off. That whole story, Susan, is so overwhelmingly touching to me. And then, you know, Father Ken, he talks about how wonderful it is that I come and I help. But, you know, how could you go any place and be a part of a congregation without being able to share your talents? And the talent that God gave me was to be able to speak, to be able to get up in front of people and to have a sense that the message I have is a message that God would like for you to have. And I think about the scripture this morning and how Samuel, he had that gift. And he had that gift to get up in front of people and to tell people, this is the way of the Lord. This is the way we are going to make a difference in the world. This is how your kingdom is going to survive, you Israelite people. But they're saying to him, no, you're old, and your sons are not doing a good job, and we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. We don't want to be a nation under one God who listens to one God through the prophets. We want to be like the other nations. And how frustrating that was for Samuel in thinking he had failed God, that he was not doing the things that he was supposed to do. And I know that for me, and I'm sure for you, Father Ken, there are so often times when we just have this mission of wanting to tell the people in our congregations, wherever they might be, this is the way of the Lord. We need to step out. We need to be brave. We need to go into other countries. We need to take the word of the Lord out onto the street. You need to go out and get those men next week, right off the street, bring them in here and say, we have a gift for you. And it's not a little trinket or a rose. The gift we have for you is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't live your life in fulfillment of all that is promised you if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and in your heart. And Samuel wanted to tell them, we need to follow God. God has laid out a plan for us that will make us free, that will give us land of our own. And now what you want is a king? Really, how stupid is that? You know, and I think probably Samuel used stronger words than that, because he had been leading them in his utter frustration with these people. And God sensed that, and God said to him, it's okay, Samuel. They're not rejecting you. they're rejecting me. That hurts my heart to think that God would need to say, they're rejecting me. I would never want to think that people were rejecting God. And yet, I know in being many places and being with many people that rejecting God is easier for some people to do than to open their arms and say, the Holy Spirit has blessed my life. And this is the day that the Lord has made. This is a day that God has given to me. That would be embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing to tell people that you're a Christian, but it's not embarrassing to use swear words or sit down at a party with a lot of drinking, but it's embarrassing sometimes to take God with you. And that's what Samuel was feeling. Samuel was feeling, why are they wanting to be like the other nations instead of the nation of God? Why would they want to do that? And God says, let them do whatever they want. They're rejecting me, but they will be sorry. Because they haven't had the knowledge yet to realize that all of the places that I have saved them from, all of those places, they are going to feel on them again. Because the king will take their people, their animals, their money, and make their lives totally miserable. And when they reach out to me, I will not answer them. I don't think that's true. I don't think God wouldn't answer them. But he's telling them that because he wants them to listen, and Samuel is telling it to the people, and they don't care. They're like, that's all right. We still want a king. And so the decision was that they would have a king. Now, I'm never quite sure how the history in the Bible goes, because I originally read it with the sense that you start at the beginning and you read it to the end, and it just all follows year after year. And later on, I learned some of these things happen at the same place, and some of them happen, and nobody knows where they happened. But I think the psalmist somehow must have known about these people that Samuel was trying to lead. Because then the psalmist says to God, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for getting us through this miserable situation. The psalmist speaks from the psalmist's self and says, thank you so much for taking care of me, for reaching out and grabbing my hand and leading me out of whatever situation it is, and helping me so much that I can rejoice on this day and every day. And God, by the way, please don't stop. Don't stop taking care of me and improving me and helping me to be better than I already am. Don't quit on me, God. That's what it says in the message. Don't quit on me, God. And I know for a fact that God didn't quit on the Israelites people, and God doesn't quit on you and I today. But you know what? That man on the street doesn't know that. That man on the street doesn't know maybe that God won't quit on them. That whatever that was happening in their day that perhaps wasn't the best day they ever had for a whole variety of reasons. Perhaps because they were sick or angry, or they had problems in their family, or they were so poor that they didn't know where they were going to feed their family the next day. They didn't know that God would be there to help them and protect them and reach out his strong right arm to help them. Not necessarily fix all of their problems, but to help them. You know who does know that? Trish. Trish knows that. She's sitting on the side of her bed. She's not sitting in her hospital gown. She's not sitting on the side of the bed in her hospital gown with some scuffies on. She's dressed. She's ready to meet the world again. She knows that God is right there. She knows that through a variety of prayers that the healing is happening, that she is going to survive this new challenge in her life because she has been challenged on numerous occasions. She's a person that we can look to have a sense of knowing that God can be with us, The journey may be long and not what we intended, but God will be with us. I had an opportunity to think about the bulletin and a variety of people's bulletins, because Patty and I, we are really lucky in the fact that because I'm retired, we get to go to a lot of different churches. And on one church bulletin, I noticed that it said that the ministers were the congregation and the pastor was the name of the pastor. And I thought to myself how true that is. You are the ministers, and we are a part of that. We are the part of that. We are a part of the ministers who take the word of God out into the street, because just bringing people in doesn't necessarily change their lives. We know that we have people here who do the food bank, and we know that, like you, for instance. But what I was really thinking about was Grant and being downtown and having... what am I thinking, Grant? What do you do down there?
Farmers market.
Farmers market. Thank you very much. Farmers market. That the farmers market is a place where people are nourished and fed on healthy food. That there are community people who go there and rejoice in the fact that you take the time to haul your food, clear there, never knowing for sure what you will sell, taking it home, taking it to the food bank. I know that you are a great contributor of the food bank. That those are the kind of ministries that we take things out. When I have an opportunity and a blessing to come here and bring God's message, one thing that I ask is, will our musicians please play an instrumental solo? Because we never really get to hear them. And they do an incredible job. And I thank you for that, because that's your ministry. And I know it's your ministry that you play with your flute and your guitars and your voices. And that enriches the lives of all of us who sit here. I think to myself how often we get in a place of wonder. Sometimes it's a wonder of joy, and sometimes it's a wonder of how will I ever make it out of this situation. And so I encourage you to each day to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, for on this day, God made me this day. God made this day just for me. He made the day for me to get up in wonder and joy and to rejoice in all that is around me. Rather, it's the little birds that Rose told me sang so brightly this morning, or the tiny crops that are growing across the street from my house, or something that you see in your area of where you live, or it may just be the pat on the hand that you get from the person that you love, or whatever. Whatever brings joy into your life, whatever it takes for you to know that God is present each and every day, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Each morning, I invite you to say that this week. This is the day that the Lord hath made just for me. What might I do with it to change the lives of someone else? Amen.